About genetically engineered foods and the labeling of these foods and the fight that we're having against Monsanto and the people that are just terrorizing this country with their terrible, terrible situations that are causing tremendously bad health. So today we have three great speakers. We're going to talk about the boycotts going on that started by Diana Reeves in Connecticut. But first we're going to have Pam Leary, West Coast leader of who started the California Initiative. Then we're going to have Miguel Robles, who's going to talk about corn and a lot of things going on in this country and in Mexico, genetically engineered, of course. So that's what we're going to start with. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to have End All Wars, Blake Montaigne, David Swanson. Great, great show this year. A whole new movement going on. It's just beginning, just starting. It's going to hit high peak next summer and maybe late spring. Some major, major developments around the world. You got to tune in to hear all this great information next week or the week after. On the promo that goes out Monday, we will give you more details and more specifics on that. Now, if you like our show, please rate us on iTunes. You can hear our show on the archives. And please tell your friends that don't have a computer or are not near one at a time to call the number I'm going to give you so they can hear the show on their phone. Area 619-550-0869. All right, let's get to our show. Our first guest is Pam Leary. She is a national leader doing a lot of great work on the West Coast, recently in Washington up north, a lot of work in California and the whole West Coast. Pam Leary, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Bob.
You always do a great job, and we're going to continue to have you on as long as you want to get on every month or so. Let's talk about the latest developments. I know there's a lot of things. I'll just let you go ahead and give me a rundown on what's going on.
Well, as always, it seems to keep amping up. We're anticipating that the genetically engineered, what I like to refer to and heard it called as the Botox apple. It's an apple that's been genetically engineered to not brown. And I'm hearing word that we're anticipating the approval of that, and it should be on the market before the end of the year. People can go to the Organic Consumer Association and find out links, also through GMO Free USA, to find out links to voice your displeasure with the Botox apple with the government.
Good.
Although you probably wouldn't call it that. Call it the non-browning
right,
apple.
Right.
Another thing that's going on is, let me see. The TPP is heating up, which is impact food stuff. So there's all sorts of actions needed around that still. Go to the flush the TPP or expose the TPP for actions on that, because this is really, really about, you know, the corporate control of the takeover of the planet and will impact just everything. There's some really exciting stuff going on. Oregon looks like it's getting ready. It passed, I was just reading that it passed a final hurdle, about getting ready to, gather signatures. Colorado is getting ready to gather signatures to label, you know, for their ballot initiatives for this year, for next year in 2014. So that's mm-hmm. exciting. Humboldt County in California is gathering signatures to do a ban. They're going to be voting on that next fall. Sonoma County is thinking about doing a ban. Los Angeles City is working on a ban through their city council. So there's lots of exciting stuff going on, but the most exciting thing that happened this week and that I'd really love to, like, just give a shout out to the folks over on the Big Island in Hawaii. They worked really, really hard, and they got banning, and the mayor signed it. So that is great. Very, very exciting news. And now Maui's working on it. So, you know, there's a lot going on. That's really
for all of our listeners that are just tuning in, they missed the beginning. This is Pam Larry telling us about all the things going on the West Coast. A lot of great news, Pam, in California. The TPP thing, can you explain that a little more?
Sure. Exactly what it is? TPP is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and it is a secret, quote-unquote, trade agreement. Although there's not much about trade, mostly what it does is it's will be an agreement to make it easy for corporations to conduct business internationally. Some people call it NAFTA on steroids. Labor folks, food, all sorts of food safety, environmental issues, fracking, banking, personal privacy. Everything will be impacted by this, and basically it just makes it so that local sovereignty no longer exists, where states could make laws like our labeling laws, Monsanto or the Grocery Manufacturer Association could come in and sue us on a local level for interfering with their ability to make a profit if they think that, and then the taxpayers would have to pay them basically like a duty for not allowing them to do business there. I mean, it's just crazy. So we've got to stop it. The first thing we have to stop is something called the fast track. So it's important to contact your Congress people and tell them that you to not have fast track. And it's something that's appealing to both sides of the aisle, because a lot of Republicans and conservative folks, will sign on because Obama wants it. So that's great. And the progressives and conservatives to understand that it's important to not let corporations take over our planet. So, you know, we've all got a stake in this.
Pam, I wanted to ask you, I know that in Connecticut they won, and I think Maine is the other state that won, and there's a lot of states all over the country that are doing a lot of things. But I know, for our listeners that don't know, Pam is the initiator of the California ballot measure that barely lost. We were winning all the way to the end till Monsanto and company put in enormous amount of money, millions of dollars into advertising. It was total, total lie. And then Pam went up to Washington. The same thing happened there. Barely, barely lost. And now Oregon's getting ready to do some things. We're on the brink of getting by and winning it here on the West Coast. Tell us all about that, the whole rundown of what the West Coast plans are for winning these ballot measures.
Sure. Well, we're just keeping the pressure on. We in California, our group is moving forward, and Miguel will tell you about the corn tortilla ballot initiative, so I won't go into that too much. But the rest of us also, too, we're all working together to support each other. We're also approaching the legislature for a full-on labeling bill. We haven't found an author yet, but we continue to look and continue to try. And we are setting the stage and continue to do a bunch of work on the ground, because we will be back in 2016 with another ballot initiative here in California for labeling.
Yes.
And this time
Sure.
we'll win. The thing is, you know, California did so amazingly. We didn't even have any commercials for the yes side for 3 weeks, three
Right.
whole weeks. And still we lost by less than 3 points. It's more like 2.6 or something like that points that separated us in a place where we had absolutely no voice at all. Washington, it was unfortunate. They, the yes side made a mistake. They should not have had the election in 2013, because it was not, our voters weren't out. The people, it was a very low voter turnout, only 48, and they usually have 80-something percent. If these, looking at the statistics, if you look at the numbers in the Seattle area, if the usual number of people had come out to vote, we would have won, and we would have won the election if you extrapolate the numbers out that mm-hmm. the election were. So we're getting closer. They know we're getting closer, and the Grocery Manufacturers Association was not happy with how close it was in Washington in particular. They got, an additional point, almost a full point more in votes, the yes side, and it was a smaller margin. So every election we learn, it's not like, we can expect, we'd love instant gratification because we're Americans, but, you know, things don't change in an instant, and it's very difficult to counter, the amount of lies that they put out there. Everything they do to confuse people, and I don't know if people know this or not, but the Grocery Manufacturers Association has been taken to court by the Attorney General up in Washington for doing devious practices. They're supposed to be reporting who the donors are, and they were not. And so they're being taken to court. Down here in California, they sent out fake mailers that said, that it was from the Democratic Party, and that, the Democratic Party had endorsed Prop 37, and they put on their mailers that the Democratic Party had not. So that was a lie. So they can't win by telling the truth. They have to win by confusing people and, creating a bunch of spin. But that's okay. Yeah. We're getting wily. We're figuring them out, and every step we get, every election, we're getting closer. And I believe Oregon and Colorado will win. So yeah,
good.
Exciting.
Pam, I want to ask you about a few more things here. I'd like to talk about what's going on in the world, but also want to let our listeners know that I'm speaking to Pam Leary, initiator of the California ballot measure, and a real dynamo is all over the West Coast, and now even in Colorado and Oregon, a lot of things are going on in all over the world, Pam. Can you give us a little rundown? Like, I know Europe, how many countries? Over 50 countries have laws that GMO products have to be labeled. Tell us what's going on in Europe and the rest of the world, please.
Well, actually, the number is up to, 64 countries, and some countries not only label but outright ban the growing of genetically engineered crops. And China just rejected a shipment of corn from the United States that was genetically engineered in a way that they don't accept. There's so much going on. Talked about Hawaii. That's like the shining light as far as I'm concerned this past week. There's stuff going on in Ukraine. I'm trying to remember. There's other trade agreements going on in Europe. There was a study recently that was, that's complicated, so I won't even go into that. But what we're finding is that not only is the ag biotech conglomerate, multinational conglomerate, affecting government, but they're also infiltrating journals and, the media, and getting on editorial boards. And instead of science being treated as science, it's now becoming political. And if a study is found to not, even though it's a good study, it was done well, if its findings are controversial, we're now finding that, bad biotech is on the editorial boards and gets the papers taken away. So it's just, it's everywhere. So that's kind of an international thing that's kind of peaking this week. There's always a moving target. Also, Mexico banned growing of genetically engineered crops. I just remembered that. So that was really exciting.
About one month ago, right?
Yeah, that was a couple weeks or a month ago. So lots going on. It's just constantly evolving and constantly new stuff. So pretty
exciting. You know, we got in a few minutes, but I wanted to tell you this. You know, I've been an activist for a long time, and I really see a big change going on in the world in the last 4, 5, 6 years. With the Arab Spring, all over Europe, we got rid of a lot of bad people, bad dictators. In South America, South America, we did the same thing there. In Mexico, they're getting close. There's a lot of corruption that's going out the window, little by little. Change is slow. But I wanted to just ask you, I know you're positive. You agree with me that we're going to win California, we're going to win Washington, we're going to win Oregon and Colorado. And as our next guest, Diana Reeves from Connecticut, is going to tell us, they're winning and going to win more in the East and the Midwest. So give me your final thoughts on that or anything else you want to talk about for the next 2 minutes, Pam.
Well, just that when people join with us, we are much more powerful. You know, there are a lot of us that are working on this, but we need a lot more. And we are uniting more. That's really exciting. You know, this whole TPP, although really frightening and not very, encouraging, what's neat about it is now we've got all of us that want a different way of life, want to work in harmony, want to have empowerment and local sovereignty and see a world that is sustainable and lovely. We're coming together, and I just hope, and I see us continuing to do that. So that and join us. You know, the more powerful we are, the more powerful, you know, the more change we can effect, and the faster it'll happen. So come to labelgmos.org is one place to get a hold of us, and you know, please join us out in the streets in California. And if you're outside of California, I'll hook you up with your state leader. So once again, that's labelgmos.org.
That's easy enough and great enough. Yeah, we're going to continue to tell people that. Thank you so much, Pam. You've been wonderful.
Sure.
We'll have you on again in about a month.
Okay, thanks. And hi, Diana and Miguel. Have a good time. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. All right. Yes, we're going to have Diana Reeves on right now, and then we're going to have Miguel Robles at the tail end of the show for about 10 minutes coming on to talk about the corn tortillas, what's going on there. But first, we have Diana Reeves. She's the founder of GMO Free USA, talking about the boycott and a few other things. Hi, Diana. Introduce yourself, and let's talk about the boycott. Diana, are you there? Okay. Let's see. If she's not there, let me start talking about the fact that there is a national boycott going on that started by people like Diana Reeves from Connecticut. And by the way, Connecticut is the first state to win and beat these people to label all GMO products. There's a boycott going on against Kellogg's, and many, many companies are under the wing of Kellogg's. So we're going to give you that list of, we're going to give you a place where you can, on your computer, you can get a list of all the different companies and the foods that we should avoid and not buy, don't support these people because they are ruining our foods. 85% of all foods in marketplaces are genetically engineered. Now let me see if our guest is back. Hey, Diana, are you there? Okay, and then we're going to have Miguel Robles on in a little while. Miguel, are you there yet? I think you're coming on a little later. Let me tell you more about the GMO issue. In Argentina, down in South America, children, babies, had come out deformed. The genetically engineered products were heavily involved in Argentina. And there's a lot of horrible, horrible things happening with people, with babies, with their health. The issues are unbelievable. So do not eat anything to do with genetically engineered foods. It is the worst thing in the world. It's just horrible, horrible. These people, all they care about is making money. And if they can make money easily enough and control the world, the food world, Monsanto wants to control all the food in the world. And they're on their way, except for us. We are putting a stop to it little by little. So we need your support. Again, GMOfreeUSA.com. You want to check that one out and really put a stop to that. Next week, we're going to have a thing called End All Wars. Either next week or the week after. I will let you know when I do my promo on Monday. The promo goes on between shows every hour. At different times, my promo will be on about our show. We plan to have Blaise Fontaine for one and another David Swanson. These are world leaders here in this country who are wanting to have a coalition of people to end all wars through many methods, through protests, march, demonstrations, through talking to leaders, government, to get other major people around the world and to get everything on social media to win this battle. We need to slow down. The war machine is killing many people. The drone strikes are killing people all over Iraq, Afghanistan, and years ago in Vietnam and Korea. Thousands and millions of people have died. Citizens, regular people, have died. The war machine is nasty. It's mean. This country has, what, 160, 170 bases, maybe 180, all over the world, controlling the world, spending so much money. Why can't we put money into education, into jobs, into health, into reform, into construction, into changing the face of this country? We can do it, and we will, with the help of all of the people that are working at this. Now, let me see if Diana is back yet. Diana, are you back?
I'm here, Bobby. Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me on today.
You're very welcome. Diana is the founder of GMO Free USA, and in Connecticut, where they won an election some months ago, and you're here to talk about the boycott and a few other things. So go right ahead and, Diana, introduce yourself or whatever you want to talk about, especially that boycott issue.
Oh, thank you so much, Bobby. I founded GMO Free USA after frustration with a failed legislative effort to label GMOs in Connecticut in 2012. And it was like banging our heads against the wall at the time because we had widespread bipartisan support for the legislative bill. And at the last minute, the bill was eviscerated, and no one knew exactly what happened behind closed doors. But the speculation was that some months earlier, Monsanto had threatened to sue the state of Vermont if they passed similar legislation. So it was either a trickle-down or perhaps even a direct threat. We don't know. But the next morning, I woke up, and I said, there has to be another way. Our legislators weren't allowed to do their jobs. And I had signed a petition with over a million other people to the FDA to ask them to label GMOs. And so it just came to me that there was a way we could win this battle, and that would be to bring the country together to boycott one major food manufacturer and to force them, you know, by speaking with our wallets collectively to remove GMOs. And once we do that, it will create change in our food system because other companies will be forced to follow. There will be a domino effect. Because they'll be at a competitive disadvantage as the awareness about GMOs has been raised and it continues to grow. More people are outraged. They don't want to eat this stuff. So we started boycotting the Kellogg's company last year. The boycott started at the end of July. My goal was to round up 5,000 people before I started, and it happened in July. So since then, the boycott has been very, very successful, and I do believe that we're very close to the tipping point with Kellogg's because the last 6 months, their sales have actually been down. And, you know, Kellogg's came out with their quarterly earnings report, and they said, oh, Americans don't want to eat cereal. They're on the go now, so we're going to launch our Kellogg's Breakfast to Go, which is a toxic cocktail of GMOs in a bottle that you can drink while you're on the run. And that hasn't worked. And beside that, it wasn't just their cereal sales that were down, but it's also all their snack food sales have been down for 6 months. And so the latest, the indicator of progress is that they've announced a 7% workforce layoff. So we are winning, and what we need to do is grow the boycott around the country, get people on board, and we will change the food system.
Diana, we're going to repeat at the end, but can you repeat slowly right now the website where people can go, but we'll say it again towards the end so they can get information on the boycott and Kellogg's and who not to survive.
You can find out more about the boycott at gmofreeusa.org. And you'll find out more information about why Kellogg's was chosen. For me, I have a personal problem. I lost a child to cancer, and I have zero tolerance for any company or anyone that puts children at risk. And Kellogg's
Absolutely.
Primarily markets their products to growing vulnerable children. And so along the way, what I did before the boycott started was I sent a box of Fruit Loops to a genetic testing lab to find out exactly what was in that box, because every time I called Kellogg's and asked, I got a different answer. They don't want you to know. And what we found was that the high-risk ingredients were 100% Roundup-ready GMO, which means that they were sprayed with Roundup, which is absorbed by the plant. And the corn actually was 100% BT toxic corn. And what that means is this particular variety of corn is registered with and regulated by the EPA because it's a pesticide. Every cell of that plant expresses a pesticide during the lifetime of the plant, and those pesticides are called BT toxins. And when the cornworms bite into the corn, it kills them. Food shouldn't kill. Their stomachs
wow.
rupture and they die. And when people eat it, there have been laboratory studies that show that it causes cell membrane death. So there are so many people out there with leaky gut now and digestive problems and, you know, inflammatory bowel issues. And I do believe, you know, that on what I've read, there is a direct connection. And they're feeding this stuff to children, which absolutely kills me.
Yeah. Yeah, earlier I spoke about Argentina, all the horrible things going on in that country. So babies are coming out deformed because GMO really went to that country and really hit them hard and put little babies and people are paying the price.
They certainly are.
Let's talk about Connecticut for a minute. Tell our listeners about the victory, that how you guys did it and what happened and how Monsanto tried to come in. Tell us about Connecticut, please.
Well, in this past legislative session, there was a bill that was successfully passed to require labeling of GMOs in the state of Connecticut. And, you know, this was the first successful effort in the country, which is absolutely wonderful. And the team that worked on this bill worked so, so very hard. And, you know, I wasn't as big of a part of it because I had started GMO for USA. So, you know, I helped mostly online and behind-the-scenes stuff, but they worked so hard, and they did an amazing job. The fact is that Connecticut is the 48th largest state in the nation. So for Connecticut to go out on a limb and do it solo is very difficult. So what the bill does include is a trigger clause. And the legislative bill will not actually be enacted into law until four additional states pass similar legislation in the Northeast with an aggregate population of, I think it's 20 million. So that is a tough nut to crack. And I know they're working very, very hard on the surrounding states. Maine also passed a bill. And I believe Vermont is in the works, and it looks very, very good in January when the legislative session starts back up. I believe, from what I've heard, it will go through. It's gone through the House, I think, and it needs to go through the Senate next, and it looks very positive for Vermont. But they really need, you know, some of the larger states like New York and Massachusetts to kick in, and hopefully they'll be successful.
Yeah, Pam gave us a rundown on the West Coast and how we're going to come back in 2016 and win California.
Yes, we will.
And then Oregon and Colorado look like good chance for winning over there because they're very open states that are very progressive. Tell us more about the rest of the country, the East, the Midwest. I know there's a lot of activity going on. If you could, give us a rundown.
Well, there are, you know, in almost every state, there are people that are on the ground working to educate people about GMOs because, you know, the biggest part of the problem is, you know, the fact that this has been kept out of the public eye and people are unaware of what they're eating. But if you look at the health statistics for our country, they are horrific right now. And so people are, I think, starting to wake up and listen. And I think as more people wake up around the country, you know, the anger builds and, you know, the labeling, I think, will stand a better chance of being passed. And I think, you know, part of the problem is that the messaging was not quite strong enough. You know, when you say you have a right to know if it's GMO, people will say, oh, yes, I have a right to know. And then Monsanto will come along and they'll blast commercials to brainwash people into thinking that it's going to raise their food bills. And it is not going to raise the price of food. It hasn't done so in any of the 64 countries around the world that already have labeling laws. So once they come out with that information, they say, yeah, I have a right to know, but maybe it's not that important if it's going to cost me money. So really what needs to happen is the messaging has to change. And the messaging needs to be, you need to know if it's GMO. And, you know, for myself personally, I have health problems that I am 100% certain are triggered by GMOs. And I had to figure it out with a very, very careful elimination diet. In the fall, I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue in the fall of last year, and I could not understand what could possibly be the problem. My diet was so clean, you know, in terms of organics and being GMO-free. I call the companies and I ask what the ingredients are that are being used. I stick primarily to whole foods. I eat grass-fed beef, organic chicken and eggs, you know, and I was doing everything I thought I could to avoid GMOs and eat healthy. It turns out in April, I found out that two of my vitamins actually contained GMOs. And my doctor couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. He didn't know what to test for. But 3 weeks after I changed those vitamins from GMO-based vitamins to non-GMO equivalents, it was like I had a new lease on life. So, I had digestive problems. I had low body temperature. I had chronic fatigue, brain fog, and it all lifted magically after I stopped having any GMOs.
That's great. Wow, Pam.
Yes. You know, so we need to know if it's GMO.
Yes. Earlier, Pam Leary from California spoke on this show. For those who are just coming in late on the show, I speak to Diana Reeves, Connecticut, from GMO Free USA, the founder of that group. It's GMOfreeUSA.org. Lots of information on there about the boycott and everything else. But Pam spoke earlier about, and you just mentioned, 64 countries all over the world. And some of these countries are actually banning products. You can't even bring the products in, let alone label them, non-label them. What do you know about that? What can you tell us about other things going on around the rest of the world, Diana?
Well, I guess I can tell you that in Europe, I know the EU recently approved the cultivation of a variety of GMO corn, but there is, you know, a network of countries that have said, no, we're going to stick to our GMO ban regardless of what you say. I know Hungary is one of them. They just came out actually and said that. I can't remember the entire list, but there is a good number of countries on that list, Poland and I think Italy, and I can't remember which other ones, so don't quote me on that, but I'm sure the information is available online if you wanted to double-check. So, you know, I think what's happening right now is the U.S. is doing its best to force GMOs on the rest of the world because of the balance of trade and economics. And I think there's something very, very nasty going on that people need to be aware of. It's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a pretty secret trade agreement which is being negotiated behind closed doors, driven by corporations. And what the trade agreement does, it actually gives corporations the right to sue countries that do not accept their products. So it would pretty much do away with GMO labeling as a barrier to trade, and it would allow Monsanto to sue all of these countries that don't allow cultivation of GMOs for lost profits. And it's very, very nasty, and the best thing everyone out there can do is to contact all of their legislators and tell them to not support the TPP because it takes away human rights and it puts corporate wealth over human health.
Diana, we're winding down the segment with yourself right now. We've got another 5 minutes or so or 4 minutes. In about 2 or 3 minutes, could you elaborate more on the boycott, about Kellogg's and which are the bad companies that we should avoid? And I know people are going to get on GMOfreeUSA.org to hear more about it, but give us some latest developments and specifics on the boycott products.
I would love to. The first thing I'd like to say is that we encourage everyone to avoid all GMOs because of the health risks. And as I said, from my personal experience, I can't consume anything that's GMO. So it's even in Tylenol and Advil and over-the-counter meds and Armour Thyroid is made with GMO corn. So you really need to call companies and ask. But if you're overwhelmed by that, and many, many people are, I totally understand that because GMOs are so pervasive in our food and medicine supply that many people just can't clear out their pantry and start over. So that's why we suggest that if you can't handle it, we focus on Kellogg's. And Kellogg's makes a wide variety of products. They make Kashi cereals, which they bill as a healthy alternative. Kashi is currently under the subject of a lawsuit, as well as Bare Naked, which is another one of their lines, because someone tested those products and found that there are toxins in there in addition to GMOs, and they bill them as natural where they're really not. So we would suggest avoiding, you know, all Kellogg's brands, which are Kashi, Morningstar, Bare Naked, Pringles, which is a snack food, Keebler, another snack food, Townhouse, crackers, Nutri-Grain bars, Cheez-Its, another snack, Cars, and then all of their, you know, house brands, such as, you know, the cereals, the Pop-Tarts, the Eggo waffles. They have a granola, they have Crave cereals, and they have s'mores and Yogos and fruity snacks and Morningstar Garden Burger, as I said, I think. And this is a little bit of a peek inside to what's going on behind the scenes. We haven't released this publicly, but we actually tested a Morningstar product, their chick patties. We sent it to a toxicology lab, and they found Roundup in it. Glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, which is very, very toxic, was found in the product because these GMOs are quote-unquote Roundup ready, so they're all sprayed with Roundup, and it doesn't wash off. So for your health, please, please avoid GMOs as best you can and boycott Kellogg's. And Gerber as well. We added a boycott of Gerber because, as I said, children are so very important to us. We're putting an entire generation at risk with these GMOs. And we believe that by targeting one company and getting the nation on board, we can change the system. And Gerber is owned by Nestle. And in South Africa, Nestle was pressured, public pressure and boycotting, to remove GMOs from their baby formulas in South Africa. And so they understand, you know, the boycott issue, and we believe that they are the best target. So avoid Gerber as well if you can't avoid all GMO baby products. But please try.
Well, you know, Diana, I think that's probably why in places like Argentina and other places in the world where babies are coming out sick or deformed even, and that's
it
probably because of these GMO baby foods, right?
Well, that could be part of it, but in Argentina, they are doing major GMO cropping, and I don't know if it was mentioned, but Monsanto has been trying to construct a plant, GMO processing plant, for seeds in Argentina, and since October, I believe, there's been mostly women, mothers, camping out to prevent the trucks from getting in to complete the construction, and there's been, you know, widespread, like, camping out and protesting to keep them out because all of the spraying, you know, everyone's got nosebleeds and they've got all kinds of, you know, horrible problems from the chemicals that are in the air just from spraying the crops as well.
Wow.
And I'm
well,
sure Diana, it's in the water as well.
Can you give your 1 minute good last minute word and also your contact information, please?
You know, as a last-minute word, I think, you know, we have to speak with our wallets and we have to speak collectively and take back control of our food. And there are many things you can do outside the grocery store. You can start your own little garden, just grow something, even if it's a pot of parsley. You know, I suggest looking online for heirloom seeds so that we can preserve the wonderful biodiversity we have on this planet because GMOs are monocrops and they put our food supply at risk. You know, if you think back to the potato famine in Ireland, you know, that's pretty much what happened. It was a monocrop, and it was all wiped out, and we just can't afford to put our food supply at risk. So if you grow a little on your own, you know, you're doing your own little part to take back control of your food. And I just say avoid GMOs and be well.
Wow. Thank you so much, Anna Reed. You've been wonderful. You are so, a wealth of so much information. Again, that website is GMOfreeUSA.org. I'm going to repeat that at the end of the show. And any other contact numbers you want to give us to Diana, reach you or reach anybody that you're involved with, if you think that you should have besides that one website, or does that cover all?
If anyone would like to reach us, they can send us an email at info@gmofreeusa.org.
Great. Thank you again, and we'll be talking to you again. Keep up the great work, Pam.
Thank you so much for having us on, having me on today. You take
You're
care of yourself,
well.
Bobby. You're doing great things.
Thank you so much. All right.
All right, take care.
Yeah, this Diana and Pam are just so full of so much information, and they're doing such great, dedicated work, full of love. This world is going to change, and we're coming around to really coming to a head over the last few years, as I mentioned earlier, social media networking, radio stations like this. We're trying to get more media to listen to us and all these wonderful things that we're talking about. All right, our next guest is a gentleman, Miguel Robles, that is he's the founder of Biosafety Alliance. Miguel Robles is in the San Francisco area, but he's all over the West Coast. He's all over doing so much great work. Thank you for coming, Miguel. How are you doing? Miguel? He was here. Miguel is going to talk about corn tortillas. There's a movement in several counties in California and the state of California to ban corn tortillas because of they're stuck with lots of genetically engineered foods, and don't eat corn tortillas. Good news, Miguel, are you there? I'll keep asking for him. I'm sure he's going to come. In Mexico, about 2 to 4 weeks ago, as we said earlier in the show, the country will not allow GMO foods to ruin their wonderful corn and other foods. Corn is the staple of Mexico. I'm Mexican American. I was born here in Los Angeles, and I've been to Mexico, and I can tell you stories about it, and I will. And if our Miguel doesn't show up, I'm going to tell you a great story about corn and about Mexico and about my experience with organic foods and the movement over there. But let me see if Miguel is there yet. Miguel Robles, are you there? Okay, as soon as he comes in, I hope he just jumps in here. Let me tell you about corn in Mexico. When I was just 9 years old, my parents and my older brother, we all went to Mexico by car from Los Angeles to the central part of Mexico, passing El Paso, Juarez. And we went to Irapuato, Guanajuato, which is in the center of the country. Guanajuato is a beautiful state. It's a state, a lot of independence began there for Mexico. But there was a city, Irapuato, Guanajuato. My grandfather was there. I'm 9 years old, and my grandfather had my dad late. My grandfather was 104 years old at the time when I was only 9. And my dad said, "Dad, get your grandfather," as we were approaching his farm. He was 2 miles away from the central part of Irapuato. And my dad said, "Go help him off with the burro, help him off the donkey." So we went, "Abuelito, abuelito, vamos a ayudarte. Grandpa, we're going to help you get off the donkey." And he said, no, get out of here. I don't need your help. He got up by himself real cleanly. He looked so good. He looked like he was 70, 75 years old. His skin was clean. Forehead of hair. It sprinkled with a little black here and there, but it was mostly white or gray. And he looked so healthy. And we found out why. In that area, like Central California, is the most health-conscious place in the United States. Well, in Guanajuato, especially Irapuato, that area has been closed out as a major area of mineral waters. People come to spas, they come to get healthy, because it's the healthiest place in Mexico, supposedly, is what they say. And I believe it. Well, my grandfather lived to be 108 because he ate corn, lots of corn. And they didn't call it organic because there was no such word for Mexico or many people at that time, years ago. But it was organic. It was clean. He had a full, big backyard of lots of vegetables and fruits, healthy. He would pull them out, bring them to the table, and within 5 or 10 minutes, we'd eat that very, very vegetable that he just cut and gave to us. That's how fresh he was. That's how he ate. He lived to be 108 years old. Good teeth, good hair, good skin. He looked so good. Miguel, are you there? Miguel, I'm calling all Miguels. All right, he's not quite there. Something happened. No problem. We'll keep talking. Miguel is starting a big movement against corn tortillas because they're being labeled. We want them to be labeled because they're not labeled now. They're genetically engineered most of the corn in California and the country is now organically engineered. Genetically engineered. I'm stumbling around my words. Excuse me here. I am excited because I see this movement that it is so wonderful, so strong. Corn is bad. Do not eat any corn in this country. even if it's organic, be careful. A lot of times, companies are all, you've seen the movement where they put on the word natural. It's not really natural. They say that too. I go to some of these health fairs and some of the more corporate-dominated health food shows, and I go to booths and I say, tell me about this food. And they say, oh, it's natural. I say, why is it natural? And they can't come up with an answer. They were told to say that. But corn is, in Mexico, they cannot no longer do it. But here in this country, be careful, because we are starting a movement in various counties in California to ban, to get corn tortillas to be labeled. All corn tortillas need to be labeled as being genetically engineered. This way, we as consumers can see what we're getting and what we're not getting. I'm waiting to see if we have our guest on. I guess he's not here yet. Miguel, are you there? We'll have him on again in a few weeks to talk about this issue on the corn tortillas. But let me go ahead and continue talking about the genetically engineered situation. 64 countries around the world, many of them do not even let genetically engineered foods come in. So Monsanto, in some ways, they're winning, they're getting big, they're going all over the world, but in little ways, gradually, we are fighting back and winning the battle. These foods are dangerous. Do not eat them. We have enough problems in the environment of this country to have this food, and 85% of all the food in all the supermarkets are genetically engineered. Yes, even your meat, many fruits and vegetables, many in boxes and cans. Oh, it's atrocious. Now, it's bad enough that most foods in this country have preservatives, have colors, have sugar, have so many things in that are just not good for you. So it's bad enough that. Now, let me get to our show coming up in the next 2 weeks. We had a show on about 2 weeks ago with Blake Bonpain. There's a new group of people that want to end all wars. Yes, all over the world. And we're going to start a worldwide movement here starting in the United States with David Swanson. He's the initiator of this thing. I'm going to give you all the information about that hopefully next week or the week after. You, along with Blake Bonpain and David Swanson, we're going to tell you a new movement going on in the world to end all wars. If we end the wars, there'll be more. We can have more money for education, for schools, for health, to construct buildings, roads, construction, school education at its best. We can do a lot of things with that money. There's so much money going into the wars all over the world. So we're going to have that on, and also in the next few weeks we're going to have talk about cell phone radiation. We're going to talk about organic foods, farmers markets, co-ops. They're rising all over the place. We're going to talk about cruelty to animals, talking about cruelty to women. There are so many issues on that front of women. We're going to bring that up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I guarantee you that. I'm going to have Jenny Haynes on. She's from Mercy for Animals. She'll be on in the next week or two, or three for sure. I will let you know Monday. Monday I'm going to put a new promo on with the latest up-to-date information. I'm waiting to get all that information, and I will have it for you by Monday. And we'll be on the promo to tell you that Jenny Haynes is doing wonderful work, traveling all to the national outreach organizer for Mercy for Animals, a group that's just doing wonderful things. Another group called PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They were in Beverly Hills only a few months ago when I was there, where they went to all the big stores on Rodeo and Cannon, all the major streets in Beverly Hills, a shopping area where the richest shopping area possibly in this country. And many of the stores had furs. Furs, you have to trap the little foxes and other rabbits and other animals. They trap them cruelly, and their legs are all torn apart, and they bleed to death. And they kill those animals, and they take them, they torture them. And they take them, and they turn them into fur coats. And there's a movement. No longer in Beverly Hills can anyone, the ban is so that Beverly Hills and now pretty soon West Hollywood are going to have these laws that are going to keep people from buying these things, or have knowledge that it's there. There's so many things. Animal cruelty to women. All over the women, world women are being mistreated. In this country, there's a lot of things that you haven't heard about, but you will hear on this show, about in the service, in the armed forces, the soldiers. Women soldiers are being sexually harassed and raped and just totally, totally mistreated by men. In the Army, in the Navy, in the Marines, this is something you don't hear about, but you will hear on this show. We're going to bring it out. We're going to talk about that issue also. As we're winding down at the end of the show, I want you to be sure to stay with us, because we're going to play that song we played at the beginning in more in full. At the beginning, it was on for about 30 seconds, a song by our great singer Celine Dion. The song is "O Holy Night." But as I'm winding down here, I want to start thanking all of our people that helped me put this show together. I want to thank the engineer, Melissa, doing a great job. I want to thank our producer in New York, Jason, my producer in Los Angeles, Jimmy D. I want to thank our guests, Pam Leary, Diana Reeves, and he'll be on again next week, or the next few weeks, which is Miguel Robles. We're going to talk about those issues. We also want to thank all the listeners that came in, and thank you, everyone, for seeing the show. And our engineer, Melissa, if she's there, I want her, if she's going to play O Holy Night, the Christmas spirit, with the wonderful Celine Dion. Be sure to tune in to our show again next week. Thank you very much.
Till he appears.